Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 20. We'll chant the text, and then before chanting the text, let's chant the invocation, Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Yitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashaitya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Readings from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 20. Najayate Vriyate Vakadachin Nayam. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano Nahanyate hanyamane sharire Let's do it one more time. Najayate mriyate vakadachin Nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano Nahanyate hanyamane sharire Okay, let's do the transliteration. Na, never. Jayate, takes birth. Mriyate, dies. Va, either, kadachit, at any time, past, present or future. Na, never, I am, this, bhutva, have come into being. Bhavita, will come to be. Va, or, na, not, bhuyaha. Or is again coming to be. Aja, unborn, nitya, eternal, shashvataha, permanent. I am this, puranaha, the oldest, na, never, hanyate, is killed, hanyamane, being killed, sharire, the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace by Channananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Please repeat. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Purport. Quantitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called steady or kutastha. The body is subject to six kinds of transformation. It takes its birth from the womb of a mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes in the oblivion. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, therefore he has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever existing, and primeval. That is, there is no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man therefore feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree or anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different individual souls, and owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence, but the soul has neither shoot-offs or change, neither offshoots or change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.18, we also find a similar passage which reads, Na jayate mriyate va vipaschin nayam kutaschin na bhabuva kaschit ajoditya shashvato yam prano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in Bhagavad Gita. But here, in this verse, there's one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge, always with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart where he is situated, he can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to the clouds or some other reason, but the light of the sun is always there and we are convinced that it is there for daytime. As soon as there is little light in the sky early in the morning, we understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. The consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless. There are two kinds of soul, namely the minute particle soul, Anu Atma, and the super soul, Vibhu Atma. This is also confirmed in Katha Upanishad 1.2.20 in this way. Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atmasya Jantor Nihito Guhyam Tam Akritu Pashyati Vitashoka Datu Prasadan Mahimanam Atmanaha. Both the super soul and the atomic soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same heart of the living being, and only one who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentations can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters, and Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Thus ends the purports. Let's read the translation again. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So this is the advice given by Krishna to Arjuna. So till now, in the first chapter, Arjuna was expressing his confusion and also his concerns with respect to fighting this great war of Mahabharata. And one of the predominant concerns of Arjuna is that he felt great compassion for everybody in the army on the both sides. He was especially compassionate towards the soldiers because they did not have any personal enmity. The enmity was between two families. The enmity was between two cousins. But there were millions of soldiers standing on both sides, and Arjuna clearly knew that when this war is fought, all these soldiers would die. They did not have any personal enmity. They did not have the reason to stand there with weapons and fight and die. So he had an overwhelming sense of compassion that why these people should die? Why we should fight this war? Is it really needed? Then he finds himself confused. He doesn't know what is right and what is wrong, because the situations of material world are very confusing always. Many times we cannot say for sure that this is right and this is wrong. It looks as if that this could also be right and that could also be right. And most of the times, and both of them are opposites. So Arjuna was also expressing that confusion, and in the process of expressing that confusion, Arjuna understood that his situation, which is caused by the nature of the material world, could not be solved by scholarship, nor could it be solved by bravery, nor could it be solved by knowledge of the Vedas, nor could it be solved by discrimination. So he found only one way to solve his confusion. That way was that he decided that he should surrender to Krishna as a disciple and take spiritual guidance from him. And this is the way the problem could be solved. Any problem in this material world, whenever we try to apply material solution to a material problem, simply it creates more problem. And that problem is bigger than the original problem which we are trying to solve. Dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkha. This is what Bhagavatam says. That you try to make some solution, material solution for a material problem, that solution creates a bigger problem. And then you have a bigger problem to solve. So Arjuna decided that this is not very good. So let me surrender to Krishna. Let me ask some spiritual solution to this problem. And the moment he surrendered to Krishna, Krishna initially chastised him because Arjuna spoke many things which was unnecessary in the process of expressing his confusion. He spoke in a very scholarly manner. And Krishna gave a very beautiful definition of who is a scholar in the very first sloka or in the very first verse. He spoke to Arjuna as a spiritual master. He said that, oh, you are speaking like a very learned man. Nanasochanti panditaha. You think that you are a pandita. You are speaking very learned words. But who is a real pandita? You please understand. Gatasum agatasumscha nanasochanti panditaha. A person who clearly understands what is the difference between a living and dead body. And what is the difference between the body and the soul? And one who clearly understands that I am not this body and I am this soul. And one who is not bewildered by the situations which are created by possessing a material body, that person is Pandita. That is the definition of Pandita. Without that definition, whatever great amount of explanations we want to give, this is all asochiyan and vasochis. This is all spoken without any proper deliberation. And in a day, we speak so many things. Hundreds of things we speak in a day. Hundreds of things we discuss in a day. Hundreds of matters come in front of us in a day. And we are disposing them. And in the process of disposing them, we have to think in what way we are approaching these problems. 99.99% of the time, we end up approaching these problems not thinking that we are a spirit soul, but always thinking that we are this material body. And we identify naturally with the changes of this material body. So that is the reason why in this verse, Krishna is very specifically explaining that the unchanging nature of the soul. Najayate vriyate vakadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuryaha ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharite. He simply puts that the soul is eternal and the body is always changing. And in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada deals with many important topics. First of all, he deals with the topic of the material body and how this body is simply a product of six transformations. Then he deals with the soul, that what is the nature of the soul, how the soul is eternal, he is not changing, and what is his nature. Then he deals with the super soul, that how the super soul is different from the individual soul. And how he is always sitting with his individual soul and watching him. And finally he deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of this super soul. So in this one purport, the entire Krishna conscious philosophy is explained by Srila Prabhupada in a nutshell. So this is an extremely important purport on which we have to very clearly meditate upon. And whenever such kind of discussion is there, especially about the science of the soul, many times, because we are as devotees, this is probably the first thing we hear when we join ISKCON, immediately after hearing about chanting. Generally, first thing we hear is that you have to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The next thing we generally hear is that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. So we are kind of hearing this from long time, from the time we enter into Krishna consciousness. So we think, what is this? This is basic philosophy. The moment we start talking about the science of the soul, this is our idea. That, oh, this is basic philosophy. This is for beginners. This section of Bhagavad Gita is not very keenly interesting to us. Because this is beginner's philosophy. Na jayate vriyate. Oh, I know this. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. I know this shloka. I know this. This is our approach. Whenever we hear the explanation of the science of the soul. But Prabhupada makes a very important point here, that the body and the soul are different from each other. And the soul has got no connection with what is happening with the body. So if we know this one simple point, which means that if we realize this one simple point, which we think is very simple, is a very deep point, that there is no connection between the soul and the body. So I am not this body, I am not this mind. So whatever these concoctions, this body and mind is putting in front of me is simply not me. Which means that there is no need for me to lament. This is the immediate symptom of understanding that I am not this body. This is the immediate symptom of understanding that there is no hankering, there is no lamentation. This is the immediate symptom of understanding that I am not this body. This is told in Bhagavad Gita later. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. So this is the symptom, or this is the basic symptom of understanding or knowing that I am not this body. So whenever we think that, oh, this is basic philosophy, I know this, then we have to immediately make a ground check that are we lamenting for something? Are we hankering for something? Of course, we can lament loss of Krishna consciousness. We can hanker how much ever we want for the service of Guru and Krishna. That is legal lamentation and there is legal hankering. That is legal, that's required. Tatra laulyam apimulyam ekalam janma koti sukrutairna labhyate. This is what is told by Raya Ramananda, and it is part of Padyavali, which Rupa Goswami has compiled, that only price to pay to get Krishna consciousness is the greed, the lamentation. Oh, I don't have this. I need this. I need to become Krishna conscious. I want to become Krishna conscious. That great hankering, that great greed to get Krishna consciousness, that's the only price to pay for Krishna consciousness. Janma koti sukrutairna labhyate. Millions of lifetimes we can do pious activities, but we cannot get Krishna consciousness. We can go to Swarga. We can get kicked up, we can get kicked down, all that is possible. But Krishna consciousness, not possible. So that hankering and that lamentation is legal. But any other hankering, any other lamentation simply means that we are not free from this, what Prabhupada calls a skin disease. The disease to identify ourselves with the skin. It's called skin disease. The moment we have any other hankering or any other lamentation, we have to understand we are still neophytes. We could have spent lot of time in ISKCON. We could be chanting all these things. Everything is fine. But the presence of hankering and lamentation on material platform means simply that I am not free from this skin disease. Which means that I have still not understood the section of Bhagavad Gita which again and again says in the second chapter that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. Till we understand this, we have to come back to this section again and again and we have to read these descriptions. That what it means to understand that I am not this body. What Prabhupada is trying to convey when he is writing these purports, saying that there is no connection between the body and the soul. If we understand this, the understanding should manifest in our day-to-day life. And that manifestation simply means that I use this body not according to my wish, not according to what I think is right, but according to the wish of the super soul. Who is the actual controller of this body? I use my senses properly in the service of Krishna, for which they are meant for. If I am not doing these things, then I could say many things about me. I could quote 10,000 shlokas. I could give fantastic classes. But still, I have to go back to read the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that please first try to understand that you are not this body. Then comes many other things. Then comes ecstasy. Then comes love of Godhead and everything. But the basic thing is that we have to understand that we are not this body. To understand that we are not this body means to acknowledge that everything in this body is being controlled and owned and supervised by the super soul. He is the owner of this body. He is the Kshetrajna. He knows that what this body is meant for. And he is controlling this body. I cannot do anything without him. I cannot lift my hand. I cannot see with my eyes. I cannot talk. I cannot speak. I cannot do anything without him. So if he is the owner of this body, then for what purpose I am using this body? I am using it as his servant, trying to serve him, or am I using it as a thief, trying to utilize this body for my own sense enjoyment? So in case I am trying to utilize this body as his servant, then I am in the right path. In case I am trying to utilize this body for my own enjoyment, then I am still thinking that I am this body. So this is a very important point in order to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, in order to apply the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because all other philosophies, it is okay. You can know philosophy. You can give a complicated talk on philosophy. That's all fine, and people will appreciate also. But Krishna conscious philosophy is not like that. Krishna conscious philosophy means that the greatness of the philosophy or the greatness of the practitioner is not understood by the complicated talk on philosophy. The greatness of the practitioner is understood by the application of the philosophy. You may not even talk about the philosophy, but if you demonstrate it, then that means there is some value in what you are practicing. That's how Krishna conscious philosophy should be preached. And that is the only way to preach Krishna conscious philosophy. Otherwise, it is very difficult to sustain the effort of preaching. Because people will see, it's a very lofty thing to say that you are not this body. It's not a simple thing. Because 99.99% of the world is simply working on bodily platform. So when we say that we are not this body, then everybody who are thinking that we are this body, they are seeing how we are acting, how we are behaving, and how we are talking. And it is very simple to find out if we don't walk our talk in this thing, that we are not this body. So, as a Krishna conscious practitioner, one of the most important things for us to understand and practice and evaluate every day is that every action of ourselves, in what platform we are working. Are we working in the platform that we are a spirit soul, or are we working on the platform that we are this body? Because whatever work which is done on bodily platform, this is bound to fail. This is what is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Parabhavastavad abhuta jato yavanna jikyasat atmatattvam yavat kriyas tavadidam manovai Karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. This is what Rishabhadev tells his sons. That prabhavastavat. This is all big defeat. This entire material civilization with all its extravagance and with all its arrangements for sense gratification, the ever increasing arrangement of sense gratification, everything is defeated. Parabhavastavat. When it is defeated, abodha jato. When a person is in ignorance, abodha. When a person is in ignorance, ignorance of what? Yavanna jigyasata atmatattva. When a person is in ignorance of this simple fact that I am not this body and I am a spirit soul, then everything else, however elaborate, however great, however bewitching and however bewildering and however opulent it may show, it is all defeated. Why it is all defeated? It is all defeated by the six transformations of time. That it is all manifest at one time and it is all destroyed at some other time. And in this manifestation of creation and destruction, we are simply bound by the ropes of our desires into activities of karma, which again and again gives us more and more bodies. And through these bodies, we think that, oh, I am this, I am that. And that bodily attachment is so tight that it is extremely difficult to give up that attachment. There is a good incident which is told about Indra, that at one point of time Indra was cursed to become a pig, and Indra became a pig. And after some time, his curse was over. So Brahma said that, okay, Narada, please go and tell Indra that he is Indra, he is not a pig, and he has to come back and occupy his post. Then Narada went to this pig, Indra, and then he told this, oh pig Indra, you are not a pig, you are the demigod Indra. So please leave this body and come, and please occupy your heavenly seat. And then pig Indra was telling, no, you are trying to cheat me. I am so comfortable here. This drainage is so nice for me, this gutter. So I am taking bath in this gutter daily, which is filled with stool. So I can eat so much of stool. And you see, I have so many queen pigs, and I have made so many little piglets who are my children. This is such a nice family. Who will leave this beautiful family arrangement and this opulent gutter and come? You're trying to cheat me. I will not come from this place. So great Indra, who sees heavenly opulence, even when he got into a pig's body, he could not come out of that body, of that attachment. So this is our situation. That when we get into the body, this becomes so difficult for us to understand this, that no, we are not this body. And we have to come out of this body. That is why in the Kathapanishad Shloka, this is mentioned that a person has to be vipaschit. A person has to be learned. He has to have this knowledge. As long as he does not have this knowledge that I am not this body, I am eternal, I am not subject to birth, death, old age and disease. This is not me. As long as a person doesn't understand this, as long as a person doesn't realize this in his life, it is extremely difficult for him, because these attachments and these misunderstandings, this ignorance, it will keep on pulling him down. And that same ignorance manifests in Arjuna. That Arjuna, even though he was associate of Krishna, of course Krishna made him manifest the ignorance. It was Krishna's plan so that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken to him. But this is a very strong warning to us, that in spite of being with the Lord, Arjuna could be thrown into ignorance. And we can see the same thing with Mahaprabhu's assistant. And when he was going in South India, some kind of gypsies, they actually attracted him. And Mahaprabhu was there with him. Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord himself. But still Mahaprabhu's assistant, he was attracted by these gypsies. And these gypsies, they dragged him. And Mahaprabhu had to go there to pull him back. And they tried to attack him with the weapons. And their own weapons went and killed them all. And he pulled him back and came. So this is a very strong warning. This Leela of Mahaprabhu is a very strong warning that bodily concept is not to be taken so easily. That even in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one could get bewildered that he is this body. So one should not be so casual in trying to understand this truth that I am not this body. One should not think, oh, this is very basic, I know this. If we have that casual mentality, then we can become victim of Maya at any point of time. And Prabhupada made this statement that one of the biggest things he is worried about his disciples is that they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. And that applies to us also. What to speak of Prabhupada disciples who are with Prabhupada, so they were very nicely protected. But what is the question of about us, that we have that protection, but not so much directly connected. So, you know, we have to be very, very careful when we are dealing in our day-to-day activities. We should try to remember this, that we are not this body, we are a spirit soul. Especially when we are disturbed. Especially when we are disturbed. Because when we are disturbed, most of the time it is because of our identification with the body. So especially when we are disturbed, especially somebody comes and troubles us and we become angry that why this person is troubling me? Why this is happening to me? Why me? Then we have to remember this, that no, I am not this body. I am not this mind which is getting troubled because of the influence of this person. I have no connection with this. I have to rise above this so that I don't start a big karmic cycle. Because the moment we get disturbed, then there is a cycle of karma which starts. That disturbance creates a karma. And because of that karma, we have to be born again. Because we have to give back the disturbance to this person. That's very dangerous. So if we don't understand and if we don't comprehend that we are not this body, it's extremely difficult for us to come out of the cycle of karma. Because the cycle of karma simply goes by two things, that I like this, I hate this. It goes by these two things. And this is all what bodily consciousness pushes us to. Now we have this social media, Facebook, where we can say like, dislike. So this is the perfect system to get entangled. Like, dislike. Like, dislike. Like, dislike. So this is the perfect system. How by Icha and Dvesha, Icha Dvesha Samuttena, Dvanda Mohena Bharata, Sarva Bhutani Sammoham, Sargeyanti Parantapa. Simply by Icha and Dvesha, by liking and by hatred, one gets bewildered in bodily platform. And when he gets bewildered in bodily platform, then automatically he has to fall down. Automatically he has to fall down. So whenever we are reacting to a circumstance, whenever we are reacting to external stimulus, we have to be very, very careful and we should see how we are reacting. There's so many things which happen every day and so many people we deal with. And sometimes it do happens that some of them are very unpleasant. Some of the dealings are extremely unpleasant. So when unpleasant dealings happen, then it is a time to retrospect that how I have reacted. Did I react from the platform that I am this body, or did I react from the platform that I am this soul? Did I use the predisposition of my mind and did I get degraded, or did I use the discrimination and I controlled my mind? It's extremely important. This means that we are trying to understand that we are not this body. If this analysis is not there in front of disturbance, then we are not trying to understand that we are not this body. We are trying to be simply carried away by the senses. We are just going through the motion. We are not serious about the philosophy that we are not this body. So that is why in this purport, Prabhupada is insisting on this word, vipaschita, that this word is there. Prabhupada says the meaning and purport of this verse is same as in Bhagavad Gita, but here in this verse there is one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge or always full with consciousness. So as a spirit soul, we are full of knowledge. We are also Satchit and Ananda, like Krishna. But our problem is that we have this knowledge in minute quantity, and that knowledge is completely covered. Because of the quantity of what we have, we are prone to get covered, we are prone to fall down. That is the difference between us and Krishna. That also we have to clearly understand. Sometimes that is also a challenge to understand, because we also want to control, we also want to enjoy, and we also want to protect. We want to take Krishna's role in doing these things. So that is our basic disease, that when we are in bodily platform, we don't recognize the difference between who are we and who is God. And activities in bodily platform simply means that we are trying to play the role of God. This is the meaning of activities in bodily platform. So that is the reason why we have to clearly understand that there is difference between us and there is difference between us and Krishna. And Krishna is the super soul. He is controlling everything. He is the owner of everything. He is the controller of everything. And according to his desires, everything happens. And when we fall in line with those desires, then we are acting in our constitutional position. And when we are not falling in line with those desires, we have a serious problem. And that problem is the skin disease. That we always have this idea that I am this body. And we cannot understand that there is a super soul within our body. He is directing everything. He is the Upadrishta. He is the Anumanta. He is giving permission for us to act in a certain way. We simply think that I am the master of all I survey. We simply think that whatever I see, I can control. So this is our whole idea in the material world, that I have to control everything which is under my jurisdiction. And as long as I am able to control, I am satisfied. As long as I am able to control, I am peaceful. The moment there is some disturbance to this idea that I am the controller, then we are disturbed. Then we get into a lot of disturbance. But what we fail to understand is that Krishna is under control. We are not under control. Whatever Krishna wants will happen. And whatever the spiritual master wants, that will happen. So when we come to that cognition, and when we give up this idea of control, then we can start realizing that what Krishna wants from us, what Guru wants from us, then we can open our mind to this thought that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And when we open our mind to this thought, that we are not this body and we are spirit soul, then our actual journey in Krishna consciousness begins. As long as we have not opened our mind to this thought, and as long as we do not consciously start acting in this platform, as long as we do not consciously review all our activities to see if we are acting on this platform or not, we are still taking baby steps in Krishna consciousness. So if you want to become serious, if you want to really want to become Krishna conscious, then this should be our idea, that every day we should ask ourselves that what I have done today, and whatever I have done, and whichever way I have reacted to different things, which happened, different circumstances which came in front of me, did I react in this consciousness that I am a body or I am a soul? And as long as we keep on refining these reactions on the platform of being a spirit soul and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as long as we keep doing this, our journey in Krishna consciousness will remain smooth. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any online questions? Okay. Bhagavad Gita Granth Raj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.